It's Tuesday, February 12th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you tonight. Yes, we're still mobile. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Washington, D.C. via the Geek News Central studio. Well, I've been on the road again, folks, and I am once again moved into a new hotel. I flew into a National this morning to talk a little bit about being out here in the greater Washington, D.C. area here in a little bit. But, of course, I want to take a few moments, and I want to welcome all of the Ohana to the show. Hey, thanks for being part of the family. And, of course, thanks for spreading the news about the show and staying subscribed. For all of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, the show is normally recorded in sunny Honolulu, Hawaii. And right now I am on a one-month road trip taking me to various cities around the United States, and we're actually, I guess, now starting week number three with 2 weeks, essentially this week and next week to go before I get back into the Honolulu area. Of course, if you are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter as well so you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, wow, very, very, just absolutely productive weekend. Friday afternoon, or actually early Friday evening, I met up with the Raw Voice team in Indianapolis, and we started our winter retreat. And winter it really, really was. I'll talk about that in a second, but the team met Friday evening, Saturday, and about half the day on Sunday, and boy, what a very productive sessions we had. I was pushing the guys pretty hard. We went through probably 2 o'clock in the morning each day. Now, those of you that were over on the Geek News Central website, you may have seen the Ustream stream that was up, which just focused on our table, but we had really the audio turned off most of the time, so it was pretty boring. But I know some of you actually hung out and actually watched us, and I don't know who all was hanging out, but I know that there were some people up on the Ustream stream that were actually watching. But boy, we had very, it was just really good, and we've laid out our plan for 2008. And I'm really excited. I'm excited about what we're going to be doing. We've come upon some ideas that are evolutionary and some things that we're going to be implementing. We've talked about the status of the company and where we want to be in another year. Just a whole agenda of things that we talked about, and I'm really, really pleased. But boy, oh boy, was it absolute. The first day wasn't too bad. It wasn't too cold. But Sunday, man, it's like someone flipped a switch, and it just, oh, my Hawaiian blood, much, much too thin. And even though I've got a very good, nice winter jacket, it just, oh, it was just really cold. And then this morning when I left the hotel to drive out to the airport at about, gosh, I left the hotel, I guess, at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm actually running on very little sleep tonight on this show, just because I've had a pretty long day today. As it is, the it was cold. I'm not used to it, but I flew into National. Boy, I tell you, I really hate that flight approach into Reagan National, and it definitely the pilot. He did a good job, got it right in, got it set down nice, stopped into the gate. But that's just a airport that I really don't particularly care to fly into. But got my rental car, picked that up, and I had only went, this is funny, I'd only went about 20 miles, and the car actually, as I got up to about 55 or 60 on the expressway, it sounded like a tire was starting to shred. So I pulled over the side, and I'm looking underneath the car, and turning the wheel right, turning the wheel left, trying to see where this, if it's something going on with the car, and they gave me a Honda Civic. And a nice little car to drive, really no guts to it. I think it's a low-end Honda Civic. But I basically called Hertz and I said, listen, something's wrong with this car. And I was lucky. I was within like 2 miles of another Hertz vendor. So I dropped into that place, didn't exchange on the vehicle. And I got a little Mazda MX-6 or something like that now. So much better performance. And even though it's a little older, no strange noises coming from underneath the car, but that was the first time that has ever happened. But while we were out in, I want to back up for a second, while we were out in Indy, my mom came down from Michigan and she hung out with us, and it was just fun having her around. This is the second time she's done that. So now in the next week here, I'm going to be in the Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, and be on the move quite a little bit while I'm here. So here's what we've got planned. Bree, and I accidentally said Susabel on the last show, but Bree's kind of been looking into some places at Old Town. And what I want to do here is I tried calling her earlier this evening, but apparently I had a work number. So what we're going to do is those that want to hook up on Wednesday, okay, here's the details. We're going to meet in Old Town and in Alexandria, and we're going to be going to the King. We're going to be meeting at the King Street Blues. It's a restaurant down there. I'll have the address and stuff in the show notes. So I'd like everyone to RSVP, please, as soon as you can, those that are going to be meeting. And I figure what we'll do is, I know everyone's on different work schedules. I know that I'm going to be busy up until probably an hour and a half before we meet up. But I'd like to try to meet between 6 and 6:30. At the King Street Blues in Old Town. If we change our mind and want to go somewhere else, we can. But Bree suggested this is a good place. We'll go in there and eat and have drinks and cocktails, whatever everybody wants to do. But please RSVP to me relatively quickly. I'm going to need stuff. Hopefully by Wednesday morning, I'll have your emails and telephone numbers, please, as well, so I can put that in my planner. I know I've got some people coming over, or one of the listeners is coming over from near the Naval Academy, and then we're going to, I think Bree is actually in Virginia, so I think we got some people coming in from two or three different areas. I know at least two, and maybe three or four that are planning on coming out, and it is what it is, and meanwhile we'll have a nice evening or, a couple hours to hang out at the King Street Blues in Old Town. So that's where we're going to go. And then I'm going to be down in Norfolk. I'll be driving out of the D.C. area on Friday evening. And I'm going to be in Norfolk really only probably a day and a half. And I don't know if I can really risk, spending time with any listeners down there, because I'm going to be seeing my sister and my niece. So I may just reserve that for family time. So that's the plan here for the next week. And, of course, we've got the thing going on in Albuquerque. And I actually got to get that all firmed up for next week as well. When, where, what, and why on Tuesday. So we plan on meeting on Tuesday in Albuquerque for the Ohana that is in that general area. And I hope, I know we got some listeners up in Santa Fe. I'd love to have you guys come down. And, if anyone's in the surrounding area, it would be great to meet up. Well, what else have we got going here? Let me look in my little notes of what I've got in my stack. I think that's all I've really got here before I get into the content. I do want to mention one thing. I got an email from one of the listeners saying that the show is sounding monotone. And with this rig, I don't know if it's this rig or not, but it doesn't process the same way when I get done with the show. So I think that's not as dynamic. Of course, I'm using a condenser mic versus a dynamic mic for the show. So it's, you know, on the road, the quality is a little bit different. The tone is a little bit different. But I never thought I was monotone. But listener says, if he doesn't quit being monotone, I'm going to stop listening. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, when you're on the road, you deal with the gear that you have. And the key is to keep it compact and not have to haul too much stuff, even though my road kit is pretty big because I'm still editing videos and that kind of stuff. And actually, the connection here in the hotel I'm in today, I hate it when the company says, oh, we've got internet connection, wired internet, and I get in the hotel and it's not wired. It's actually Wi-Fi. Drives me crazy, and I'm really worried here. The connection does not look that good. But it's one of those things that you live and learn, and you decide next time you're not going to stay in the same place, you'll go somewhere else. I actually even thought about moving tomorrow to a different hotel, but just, probably the time gained and having better bandwidth speed is, the time I would waste packing everything up and moving again. Do want to thank our sponsors, and of course, and if you are looking for a domain name, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, a dedicated server, an SSL, in other words, a secure socket layer certificate, you name it, GoDaddy.com has what you need. And of course, when you get to that checkout counter, you can save some big bucks by using the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10% off your order. Of course, you can use Geek5 to save 15% on orders $20 or more. Shared hosting accounts, 1 year subscriptions, you can use Todd20, and that'll save you 20%. And that's about the best deal you're going to get on shared hosting accounts for a discount code. Of course, Andy McCaskey and the gang and I from Tech Podcast are going to be having the next Tech Podcast Roundtable. It'll be a week from this Saturday. So I actually get back into Honolulu Friday, and on the 23rd of February, we're going to have our roundtable. So I hope that you'll join us for that. That's sponsored by GoToMeeting, the world's best web conferencing solution. You can check them out over at GoToMeeting.com. Get a free 30-day trial, and you'll find out by using this application how you can save money by not having to get in that airplane and go somewhere or driving to have a meeting. Just pick up the phone. Or even on voice IP, say, hey, you want to meet over online? You just fire up the GoToMeeting session. You share your screen and with the GoToMeeting software, and it's just like you're all in the same room. So GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Again, a free 30-day, no credit card required trial is available. All right, got a great lineup of stuff for you tonight, and I do want to thank everyone that's been sending in email comments. Last show, wow, lots and lots and lots of content, so I hope you all were able to get through a great deal of it, and I hope we've had some good hot links in there for you. If you find specific items in my show that you like me to cover, definitely like to hear from you on, information that is relevant to what you like to look at and some information that you're looking for. I do want to mention that one of the things we have found that we talked about that I guess I can share with you over at podcasternews.com, we've been looking at our strategy over there, and we're definitely looking for podcasters that want to add their voice to the conversation. That site still gets just an amazing amount of traffic. But we definitely are looking for show producers to come over there and share their ideas, talk about news, entertainment, or anything else that can be summarized in a short 5 to 10 minute podcast that people will find interesting. And we'd love to have content producers come over there and contribute. We take care of the hosting for you. We're going to be coming up with some new ways to get people ramped up and get going in the community. But consider doing a short show over at podcasternews.com. Great way to break into podcasting as well, because we take care of everything for you. All you have to do is create the MP3 file, and we take care of the rest of it. But anyway, enough on that. I wanted to move into a seems like Doug K. Man, Doug, you've been doing good, posting some good articles here, and he has got a post on. That he posted on February 9th that's entitled Towards a Listener-Supported Network. And I encourage you to go over there and look at Doug's posting. And this is a post related to the Conversation Network's 2008 business plan and talking about how they've raised money through their tip jar. Now, I'm sorry, I yawned on you. Now, while Geek News Central is a sponsor-supported show, and while I don't actively look for contributions, I've always wondered how the show would do if we went to a listener-supported model. And I know that there are some risks with that, but I get to thinking from time to time, you know, based on the number of subscribers the show has, if we went out and did like an NPR type of pledge thing, really, it could really change the dynamics of the show in that it could really allow me to do this, on a much more full-time basis. And, you know, I can't be more full-time than I really am right now, but it would allow me to produce more shows. Just thinking about it a little bit. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go down that road yet, and I'm not asking for donations, but I've always wondered how it would work out if we went to a listener-supported style. Now, I'd have to do, you know, balance what we earn from sponsors to based upon what we could probably bring in through listener support. And it's, you know, it'd be an interesting mark to try to match, but I don't think it's fair to try to double dip and, you know, subject you to advertising while at the same time asking for donations. That's probably not cool at all, and I'm not going to do that. But what Doug's point is over on his website is that they, you know, they did pretty good with having 110 one-time donations, which raised $9,204 in paid membership with an average of $84 contribution. So that was that's pretty cool. And they also had about 3,000 loyal listeners last year who downloaded at least one program per month. So that's interesting in itself too. So if you go on he did some accounting here, some math to figure out, what kind of, goals they should have. So they're going after 440 individuals donating during 2008, and hoping that they're going to be able to raise about $36,000 in user contributed donations. Now, you know, $36,000, if you think about that, depending on where you live, that would, you'd have to have a day job, for sure. But it definitely doesn't allow you to pay anyone to do anything else. Interesting to see what he's got there in his posting. But I would like to hear what you guys think about listener supported shows. We talked about this a couple of years ago, but I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on the value. You know, just hypothetically, the value you get from the show. And if we went to a listener-donated model where it was just listeners, donations only, what would the value of the show be worth to you on a yearly basis? And whether it be $10, $15, $20, $25, $100, I don't know. Let me know what you think it's worth on a yearly basis, what the content's worth to you. And I know some of you are hardcore fans of the show, and you'll probably put some numbers out there that will skew the numbers, but I really like to hear from people that normally don't donate and to any type of a medium that is out there today. And I want you to really think about what the value is, and just hypothetically, you know, if the show was listener supported, what it would be worth. And that helps me build some understanding of the value of the content that I'm providing to you as well. Okay, let's go on from there. There's an article out, of course, OS 10 Leopard 10.5.2 update is here, and it fixes a lot of stuff, and it fixes some bad bugs as well. So there's a full list of stuff out there, so make sure that you get your update from Apple, and that is on the street. So definitely check the link out to that article. There's a lot of talk about how we can become more energy efficient, how we can generate energy from, you know, natural stuff that's in our environment. So there's been a study done to look at having artificial energy islands that is being speculated could power the world. And what these are is they're islands that are made in the middle of the ocean, away from major land masses, that are big solar array farms, big wind generating farms. But these would be essentially platforms that would be out there that would be just an enormous, almost island size, which would really be, a way to capture the ocean current wave energy, solar energy, and also wind energy all combined from a single point of presence. And there's, some thought out there that these artificial islands could power the world. And I think this is pretty cool. Considering the amount of money we spend on everything else, it would seem like it would be smart to do this. And, these actual islands would definitely have to be in areas where there's a high amount of sunlight, and they're expecting from about 20 degrees north to about 20 degrees south. And then there's also some specific areas that would be, some zones that would work real well. Obviously, if you're up in an area where there's a lot of cloud cover, you're not going to get much bang for the buck there when you're trying to get solar. But why not have these artificial islands and out there that are doing nothing but capturing natural resources? I think it's smart. I don't know why we don't do this, and but it's some pretty good science behind this. Let you all take a look at the article, and it's over on a site that I haven't read before. It's called inhabitat.com, and it looks like it covers a lot of these types of articles and ideas that are out there on how we can start becoming energy dependent from oil and nuclear power. So pretty cool. Okay, Starbucks is announcing free Wi-Fi. They have gave T-Mobile, T-Mobile's out, and AT&T is in, and they're going to allow 2 hours of free service. And when you go and make a purchase, you'll get 2 hours of access, and then you're going to be able to get a monthly membership cost, which is like $19.99 per month, which will give you access to the hotspots in 70,000 hotspots in 89 countries. I don't know. I spent some time in a Panera Bread the other day, and I guess that's an East Coast. I've never seen one of these they don't have them in Hawaii for sure, but they had free Wi-Fi there. Big, huge store. It was smart, we couldn't check into the hotel, so we were able to go in there and hang out for a couple hours and use their Wi-Fi. Had some of their products. So I think it's smart. I don't know how often people, go out and hang out in Starbucks. It's usually an in-and-out, but I think students will find this pretty valuable. All right, over on ArsTechnica.com, there's an article about the future of Firefox, and Chris Blizzard, who is a Mozilla evangelist, gave a presentation on the future of Firefox, and he talked about some of the long-term goals and demonstrated some of the new improvements that Firefox 3 is going to be bringing to a Linux user, and also provided some insight into Mozilla's recent efforts to bring Firefox to the mobile market. But it looks to me like they're going to be doing a couple of major things. One, they're going to be building more things into Firefox to protect the web. And one of the issues is, making sure that open standards are supported completely. There is some worry with Microsoft Silverlight and Adobe Air. He's worried about these proprietary stacks displacing open standards that are available. He also talked about some of the new technologies in Firefox, including user interface changes, performance, resource usage. Boy, that's a big one. Because one thing I don't care about Firefox is it definitely from time to time gets a little resource heavy, and you have to restart it, and it really drives me crazy from time to time. Also, he's going to be looking at Firefox mobile potential, and they're going to see what they can do to really compete in that market, which at this time Safari's done a pretty good job, at least on the iTunes side, of being integrated very, very well. All right, over on severeshock.com, there's a great analogy to the current Windows firewall, And it's just a picture, and I think you all get a laugh out of this. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. You can check it out. All right, Android. There's been some people doing some reviews on Android, with the prototypes being scattered throughout the Mobile World Congress. And people are overall saying it works, it looks okay, but it's not 100% there yet, and it's a little bit boring. So they did have Qualcomm had an Android prototype out. It looks kind of big. So you can look at what Qualcomm's prototype that they had and just think to yourself, okay, that's a pretty big cell phone. So we'll see what happens with Android, but Google's going to, looks like, making a push to make this as a, you know, alternative operating system for handsets. All right, over on Mackenstein.com, there's a guy that's put up an article on the 3G iPhone, and he's saying, do we have it all wrong? And this made me think a little bit because, you know, AT&T has announced that they're going to be rapidly expanding and beefing up their 3G network in anticipation of the 3G iPhone that's going to become available later in the year. So what his point was if AT&T has purchased a 12 megahertz of wireless spectrum in the 700 megahertz band that covers 90% or excuse me, that covers 60% of the U.S., would this mean that AT&T should be really focusing on the 700 megahertz band and kind of, you know, abandoning the 3G because it's just going to be that much more powerful? With the 700 megahertz spectrum carrying wireless signal 3 to 4 times farther than some higher spectrum bands, it definitely makes it an optimal long-range broadband network. Now, what I think his issue here is that we're going to have to wait until at least 2009, if we're lucky, before any of these companies that have gotten some of this spectrum are going to be able to utilize it. So I think he's wrong in that instance. I think AT&T has to continue to at least try to stay up to speed and bring their 3G network up to the same capacity that Verizon and Sprint has in order to at least stay competitive during the transition time. All right, over on YouTube, the Pirate Bay captain speaks out on TV for the first time, so I'm going to link this up. This is a good video you're definitely going to want to watch. It has to do with the Pirate Bay and what's been going on with them in the last month or so here, and the IFPI and the attacks that they're getting undertaken right now, along with the court proceedings that they've got. So pretty good watch on YouTube on this. All right, with the Service Pack 1 coming out for Vista, it was assumed that Microsoft would plug some of the known security holes that they had for allowing people to run Vista, essentially hack it so they can, you know, have a hacked copy of Vista. And it appears that the hackers are still up on Windows. Looks like that Microsoft has not closed all the holes in Service Pack 1, so there's been some people been able to bypass Windows Genuine Advantage and have been able to, you know, essentially run a hacked version of Windows Vista and with the Service Pack 1 in. So hackers are still staying ahead here on, you know, making sure that they can run hacked copies. Next article up made me laugh a little bit. And it's from CNN Money website at cnnmoney.com. And the article is entitled, Are You a Workplace Pyro? You know, are you one of these people that work for a boss that, you know, everything is a crisis and if you don't reply to email in 5 minutes, you get scolded? And if you just, you know, don't jump when they say to, you know, if you don't say ask jump how high when they say jump, you're in trouble. Well, this is a good review of kind of the things that are going on in the marketplace, and it also is kind of a confession of an executive who was, you know, essentially driving a company into the dirt because the employees were so upset about, you know, this employer's ability to essentially make everything a crisis. So it's an insight into how, you know, we live in this digital world today and where we're all connected 24/7. And, you know, it used to be you would do your 9-to-5 job and get done, finish working for the day. And even if you put in extra hours, when you went home, you went home. You know, you were able to disconnect from your job. But today, because of technology and because everyone's got a BlackBerry, you know, I was on the plane this morning and everyone was on a BlackBerry. You know, employers can reach out to you at 10 o'clock at night and task you up. And, you know, and if you're being a dedicated employee and want to keep your job, what do? You pony up to the computer and you do work. Now, I know many of us do work at home for our jobs. And you know, sometimes it's required. But I think companies are going to have to start watching out because, you know, this only can go on so long before we start burning people out. And if you're doing that to your employees, you know, you need to step back a little bit and say, you know, what's this doing to my business in the long run? You know, and I'm the kind of guy, you know, a lot of people say, Todd, how do you get done what you get done? And quite honestly, I probably work a lot harder than I should. And I do, and even myself, I get impatient at times and I have to throttle myself back and put the brakes on internally because I have to say, well, you know, people have lives and just relax and take a deep breath and it'll be okay. And I think that's it's important for everyone to look at that. Now, along with that, you know, hopscotching around the country the way people do today, you know, we're always dealing with jet lag, not enough sleep, and there's new research out exploring how our bodies keep time, and they found some pretty cool stuff out, and it may end up being where they determined that certain enzymes are actually responsible for, you know, helping our body keep time, which may add to, you know, some sort of a chemical way to prevent, you know, your circadian rhythm from being all messed up when you're on the road. But they also talk about weight gain, weight loss tied to your internal clock. And I know my clock is still jacked up, and it never used to bother me, but I guess it's because I'm getting older. Finding myself, not wanting to go to sleep until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's not good when you need to be up and around and, available to, get busy first thing in the morning. All right. Over at the Daily Mail, and I don't know, this is really not tech related, but it really bothers me big time. The, athletes that are going to the Olympics in China are going to be required to sign a no criticism contract. Now, many of you probably don't know this, but nearly 70 years ago, there was a picture of an England sports squad giving the Nazi salute during the Olympics when it was held in Nazi-controlled Germany. And now we're going to be, you know, now the Brits have agreed to add this clause to the contracts that the athlete, first of all, why do these athletes have to sign contracts? And, you know, here you've got a country that is abusing human rights in a big way, and these athletes aren't going to be able to say anything about this human rights stuff or anything else because they will be banned from traveling to Beijing. If the United States tries to do this, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I think people should be should give a major outcry, and British athletes, I think you all need to, you know, if you live in the UK, I think I would be protesting this. You know, it's, you know, that's saying you can't say what you want to say. It's you know, impeding free speech. So pretty sad. It really, really is. All right, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, has approved a second phase of an artificial intelligence technology that will help automate military air traffic control. And boy, it's reading this article, I'm thinking, wow, AI doing air traffic control makes me wonder if you know, I don't know. I've for flying for many, many years and sitting on a radio listening to both civilian and military air traffic controllers, they essentially do the same exact job. So it's not that they do any different of a job. You know, depending on where they're at, they may do a little different job. But, you know, I don't think I want a computer controlling air traffic control. You know, it bothers, it just scares me a little bit. But, We'll see what they come up with this here, but it is pretty interesting to say that they are going to another phase on this. And I guess we'll see what happens. But I don't know. Would you feel comfortable having a computer watching you while you're flying the friendly skies? I don't know. All right, the Danish block of the Pirate Bay leads to even more traffic. This is funny. The IFPI convinced a Danish court to block users from accessing the Pirate Bay from Denmark. And what has happened since that time is the traffic to the Pirate Bay has actually increased. This is because of the publicity. So it just goes to show you that, what they try to stop just, gets more people informed and cause them to use it even more just because they can. Over on Yahoo Hot Jobs, four things you should never say to your boss or the CEO of a company. And I think this is pretty appropriate. Number one, I'll have to get back to you on that. Number two, making fun of a corporate program. Number three, something you find funny. In other words, doing jokes during a presentation. And number four, saying that can't be done. I have to get back to you on that. These all seem pretty self-evident to me, especially the one on I'll get back to you on that. You get a call from the boss, he wants something, his word overrides the supervisor, anybody else. Now, what I would do is I would call the supervisor and say, hey, the CEO just called me and he wants me to do this right now. Well, let them know and then move forward swiftly. I'll have to get back to you on that. That's definitely not the right answer if you want to definitely stay employed, that's for sure. All right, let's move on here. Networkworld.com has a good article on a powerful new anti-phishing weapon. It's called DKIM. This is a standard that is being used to help block email fraud. And DKIM stands for Domain Keys Identified Mails, and it allows an organization to cryptographically sign outgoing emails to verify it sent the message. So DKIM address is one of the internet's biggest threats, email fraud. As much as 80% of the email from leading brands, banks, and ISPs is spoofed, according to a research report released in late January. And I don't know how many PayPal emails I get. Hey, check your PayPal account has to be revalidated. And even stuff from banks that I do business with that send, it's actually, phished email, and they're trying to get me to go to their website and, put something in there that I shouldn't. So I think this is smart, and hopefully we get to the point where that is, this standard is being used more and starts whacking away at some of these, this phishing that's going out there for email that's being sent from supposedly from domains that you do business with, but it's not actually from that. It's from, some Russian hacker. Okay, LifeDev.com. 25 Firefox extensions to make you more productive. And I'm looking through some of these. And I was like, wow, I have not seen these before. Some of these are really, really good. And if you're a Firefox user, you're definitely going to want to check this out. One that I really like is AutoCopy. That's a pretty good one that's on there. And then Better G-Reader is a good one. Another one that I had was MeTimer. And, this basically is a great way. MeTimer, what it does is gives you an indication of how much time you're spending on various sites around the web. Another one that I liked was Page Addict. Page Addict simply shows you internet usage by websites. And there's a whole bunch here. It's really, really good. So have that link up in the show notes. Definitely check that out. Okay, Scoble has up some cool pictures here of the Large Hadron Collider. It's actually an article in Scientific American this month that explains the Large Hadron Collider at CERN. And this is one of the most complicated particle physics experiment ever seen. This is some amazing science that's going on here. You'll definitely want to look at this article, at least what Scoble has up, and then you'll definitely want to pick up Scientific American and watch or actually read this article this month, because they're doing some cool stuff here in science. They really, really are. Don't know how much money they spent on this thing, but it definitely wasn't cheap. So I know that we're getting ready to do a particle accelerator, I think, out in Arizona, too. I think that's due to open or be put into use in the near future as well. So anyway, check out what Scoble has to say, and then definitely check out the Scientific American article. I'll see if I can find a link to that on the internet. I don't know if they've made that available yet or if it's only in the magazine. This next article I found just absolutely amazing, and boy, I wonder where all this money's going, because the IDC has reported that U.S. internet advertising grew by 27% to $25.5 billion in 2007. And also, Google had lost some market share for the first time in 2 years. So, if online advertising has grown this much, where are they putting it all? $25.5 billion spent on internet advertising. I guess I'm not surprised, but boy, just give us a fraction of that, folks, for new media. Bring it into new media. I've got plenty of inventory for you. Absolutely. We'll help get the word out. I'll spend their money for sure. We'll get some advertisers into some additional podcasters' podcast. All right, Microsoft has responded to Yahoo announcement. Basically, Yahoo said, nope, you didn't give us, you know, you didn't offer us enough money, and we're not accepting your proposal. Meanwhile, the Microsoft stock has been down. I think they lost like market cap of like $40 billion since the announcement. So Microsoft has took a hit that way. Yahoo stock has been up, of course, because of the anticipated buy. And basically what Microsoft has responded have said, Microsoft's reply says, it is unfortunate that Yahoo has not embraced our full and fair proposal to combine our companies. Based on conversations with stakeholders of both companies, we are confident that moving forward promptly to consummate a transaction is in the best interest of all parties. So what they're also going on to say here is that they basically said, hey, you know, we're going to explore all options that are available to us. And what this spells out, folks, is hostile takeover. Ooh, this is going to, you know, Microsoft is definitely going to pay through the nose on this. But they are moving. Looks like they're going to move forward and use all options available. And they're going to have to do it pretty quick, too, because of some proxy stuff that has to go on with shareholders. And essentially what they'll do is they'll try to put in their own board and have enough shareholder support to do that. And if they get that done, then the hostile takeover will happen. But, you know, there's some speculation out there, of course, that Yahoo is just digging for more money. And they say, hey, we're worth a lot more than that. Give us more. Or, you know, we reject your initial offer. So this bait and mouse game will go back and forth a few more rounds, I'm sure. But it looks like Microsoft is pretty serious in continuing to move forward with trying to acquire Yahoo. And if you own Yahoo stock, I think that, you know, it's probably going to be a pretty big payday if this happens. So keep our eyes peeled. And, of course, this is going to be front page news on a lot of the internet websites. MediaWeek.com is reporting about CNN's iReport. You know, CNN, I've heard about this a few times where I've actually seen some iReport videos out there, and it's really, you know, they've got the big dollars. They've got the, you know, the big ability to reach people. I had always hoped that PCN would become kind of almost an iReport type of site. And, I don't think people are making any money by submitting their stuff to CNN. You know, just here's a little shot of the news. Here's your free reporting. We know you're you know, and CNN says thanks for the submission, but I guess they have been receiving more than 11. See, let me look here. How many actual entries have they got? They've received 100,000 news-related photos and videos from viewers, including nearly 10,000 since January. And they're saying that less than 10% of those submissions have appeared on CNN or the cable channel. That's pretty good. If 10% make it onto CNN, I think that's pretty good odds, considering, you know, if you do a good job with just something that you're going to send to them. I don't know what kind of a bang people are getting. If anybody submitted to iReport, has any of your stuff been viewed by CNN or shown on the TV station? Have you been able to, you know, I'd love to hear from somebody that has gotten something on iReport. Let me know if you have. You can definitely send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And let me know if you submitted something to iReport and if you saw any traffic back to your website, what kind of a boost it did to your, you know, your viewer numbers. All right, a teen hacker has re-unlocked the Apple iPhone. The teen hacker known for the initial iPhone unlock has created a new crack for the current version. So it didn't take too long, and he only worked on it like 24 hours straight. Boy, the exuberance of youth is able to really make an impact. And this teenager did pretty good, because there's been a lot of people out there, a lot of adults trying to get a hack for this, and he was the one that was able to come through and find a hole. So unlocking is possible through this guy's new hack that's out there. Okay. Speaking a little bit more on the Yahoo Microsoft thing, Yahoo is there's some rumors on the street that Yahoo thinks that AOL will be their savior. Boy, in my opinion, that would be the worst move that they could ever make. Can you imagine Yahoo and AOL together? Oh, it's just I don't know. What do you guys think about that? It makes me cringe. It really, really does. All right, back over on CNNMoney.com, ex-Boeing engineer has been charged with theft of space shuttle secrets for China. Apparently, this engineer has been indicted on charges of economic espionage and the theft of company trade secrets related to the aerospace programs, including space shuttle for including the space shuttle. And he's been sending this stuff to China from as early as, wow, since like 1979. This is just sad. You know, that this guy has was entrusted with information that was, you know, trade secrets and probably national secrets, and he went and basically provided this stuff back to the Chinese. You know, it's just, this is you know, these types of people, they need to be hung. They really, really do. Selling out technology like this, it's really disgusting. It really is. All right, Libsyn is reporting that they're trying to fix their stats. And I guess they've had a problem since July of 2007, and they're going back through and try to reprocess the raw data to verify their fix is accurate. So this has been a big issue for many, many people that have been on Libsyn for a long time. And I must say, knocking on wood here, that everyone's been pretty happy thus far with our stats service. So we hope that you would give the Raw Voice stats package a run for its money. And let us know what you think about it. You can find out more information about it via one of our communities and get free access to it just by filling out one of our advertising surveys. That's if you're a podcaster. So hope Libsyn gets their issues fixed. But, you know, that's a milestone. That's sort of the part that's really important for all of us that are out there that are creating media, is to have good information. It's one of the reasons why I am very hardcore now on using our own product, because the numbers over there just weren't reliable and haven't been for a long, long, long time. And I don't know if they're going to, hopefully they'll get their issues fixed, but it's too bad it's taken them 8 months or more to address issues that have been going on since the summer. And I know it's been a discussion point in many of the blogs that I've been on, and of course internally to people that are using our service as well have essentially switched over to using our stats. Okay, well, we are at the end of the regular content tonight, and I do have a couple of voicemails to play, and I'll get those played, and then we'll get into listeners' email, and we'll get you guys out of here. So here, actually, before I do that, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. The voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365, and here is the first voicemail.
Todd, hey, Brian. got an audio recording question. Maybe you or maybe another listener could help me out. I've got a Aphex 230 channel strip, really nice piece of equipment, and it does everything. It has a compressor, the gate, everything's on it. So I'm only recording, you know, with a single microphone, so I don't need to pass to a mixer and get anything else in there. So basically, I just am going right into the computer with that. It has a digital out, so I was, it was connected to my audio converter, a Presonus, it was a Firebox, I think. So I'm using the digital out and going into the digital in on the Firebox and then to the computer. But the Firebox, I'm not using the converter on that because it's already digital coming out of the Aphex. And I'm not using any of the microphone preamps or anything on that. I'm using the preamp from the Aphex. So I really thought, well, I don't even need this Firebox. I just I got the little module that, digital I.O. module for the Creative X5 sound card that's in the thing and just going in that. And I'm just wondering, it's already digital either way I go. I guess it's just a matter of whether I'm going in through the FireWire into the computer or if it's going into the sound card. I guess it's going through the PCI bus. And I'm just wondering if I'm losing any quality one way or the other. I can't see how it would make any difference. I don't hear much of a difference, but I'm not an audiophile, you know, to hear any subtlety or if I'm losing anything. I'm just wondering if I'm making a mistake by going into that creative card or going through the PCI, I guess. Anyway, if anyone has any ideas about that, that would be cool if you have any experience. Also, how do you record? The Creative Card has all those great sound effects, and I can hear them, I can use them when I'm on the mic, but I can't record any of them, and I can't work it out to save my life how to record those things. Maybe somebody's got some tips on either area. Thanks, and looking forward to the show.
Hey, thanks for the comment and question. And essentially, you know, when I'm at home, on the studio at home, I'm running analog. I'm still coming out of a mixer analog into a high-end sound card. And, I don't use any of the sound effects on the sound card software either. I do know if you want to use that, it has to be in what you hear in order to actually get that to be what's recorded to the recording software. But while I'm on the road here, I'm actually going FireWire into my PC out of my Focusrite Sapphire box. And so far, that's worked good. I'm sure some audio aficionado will basically pipe in and say what's better one way or the other so far as your setup goes. But I think, you know, as long as you are listening to the recorded, you know, basically what you need to do is you need to record some audio exactly the same. And, you know, take half a page out of a book and you practice reading it a couple of times and then read it the same way into your recording, going in one way and then record it again going into the other. Then the best thing to do then is don't necessarily listen to the raw WAV file, but listen to the finished product. Listen to the MP3 file and see if you can hear any differences. If you can't, well, I guess what you need to do is just pick a choice what's easier for you to run for a setup. And, I can't tell hardly the difference anyway on most stuff either. You know, I can tell definitely the difference in this show's audio than when I'm at home and primarily during production and what I hear in my headset because it's not as dynamic because I'm using a condenser mic. But I don't think that, probably the listeners probably can hear the difference as well. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. And I would just say play around with it, see what you find. Maybe we can get someone else that's on the show to give you some ideas. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who have some suggestions. But thanks for the comment. I hope that helps, and we'll see if anyone else has any more recommendations. All right, Randy, I got two emails from you. I'm going to play one of them, my friend. I know that you had two to me, but I'm going to just play one of them, and then we'll comment on that, and then I'll get into the email. But thanks for sending the other comment as well. So here comes the next. This is from Randy on the road from a voicemail that he called in.
Hey, Todd. It's Randy out here on the road. Where am I at? Going through Cleveland near Erie, Pennsylvania right now. And I think I might have gone through Indianapolis when you were there. But anyway, hit that email from the guy that talks about Nopix, and I apologize about the DSL Linux, which is the dang small Linux. I didn't know that. Didn't think about that causing a problem. But the Puppy Linux, you could also boot an ISO file once you burn it, and it can save a file to the computer. But you were talking about the Triple EPC, and there's, I just saw another one about another one similar to the Triple EPC, $300-$400 little RAM machine that uses very little electricity, if that's what you're looking about, which is kind of like the OLPC, again, Linux. And the Triple EPCs and these others, putting XP on them, unless, you know, you just really don't want to have that Linux experience, which, you know, the XP is going to take up a bigger footprint. It's going to use up more RAM. It's going to dog the system down. That's the beauty of the whole Linux. I mean, the Puppy Linux is you can download a 90 megabyte file. It's the complete operating system burning software, writing, browser. It's the other Mozilla flavor out there, the old Netscape one. I can't think of the name of it, but it's the old Netscape with the new name and with the email and the browser in it. But all that on it's a 90 megabyte ISO file. That's 90 megabytes is the whole operating system. You know, it allows you to watch a movie, listen to your stuff. You're talking, what, three gigabytes now for Vista, or in a gig and a half minimum for XP? So why ruin a good thing with overbloated software? And if you're going to try one of those little ones, you know, try it native, at least for a month, you know? It's not that difficult. I know. Anyway, so. But, all right. Well, and you also, you rock. You got a great podcast, and I look forward to listening to it and listen to you going down the road. And one of these days I'll be out of this truck, and I can maybe do something a little bit more productive in the computer world. But right now I'm just trying to get things done. And anyway, I'll talk to you later, neighbor, and I'll plug the Big Road and a Nut. That's not the website, but anyway, that's the blog. If you Google that, anyone wants to try to look for a goofy truck driver that likes Linux, they'll find it. So talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Randy, thanks for that. And of course, if you're going to buy a computer and it's got a new operating system on it that's something alternative to Windows, you should definitely give it a try. But here's something that you're going to be mad about. At CES, those Asus $400 laptops, the Triple E or whatever they call them, they were all running Windows XP. They had them running Windows XP in the booth. I thought that was pretty interesting that they would do that. And really not give Linux any love, but I played around with it in a booth, and boy, still ran, you know, just as fast as what you would expect out of any modern Windows XP install. So I get your point, I understand that, but I think what it is it's functionality and software. You know, basically people don't want to, you know, what they use and what they record with and what they, you know, operate with, they're used to. And, you know, look at, I use Adobe Edition. I use version 1.5 still for recording the show. It's because I'm familiar with it and I'm used to it. And I really don't want to move to a different operating, I mean, a different recording package, because I'm going to have to take the time and learn the new features. And for standard audio, just doing the audio the way I do audio, it's perfect in its current format. So sometimes it boils down to, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. It's probably one of the reasons why I still have some older machines running on my network at home, just because I don't like throwing anything out. But anyway, enough on that. Thanks for the call, and thanks for the feedback. Definitely appreciate it. Now let's go ahead and get into the email tonight. So I'll get that loaded up here. All right, the first email is from Sam. He's part of the Ohana out in Albuquerque, and actually he's the one I've been corresponding the most with about our meetup up there. He said, "Hey, Todd, shows from the road have been great. Looking forward to meeting you face-to-face. Number one, I want to be part of the listener meetup. If you do that for dinner, I want to go. I want to meet the other geeks in Albuquerque that listen to GNC." Well, absolutely, Sam. We'll definitely be doing that for sure. The other two things are on the table. Number two, I really want some time alone. Oh, we can't talk about this because he's actually got a top-secret project for me to see. And so we'll definitely be talking on Tuesday about that with you, Sam. And also definitely going to be available for the geek meetup at lunchtime, Sam. So that's a go for that. So number one, time and place of the listener meetup. Well, we can if you've got a great suggestion someplace, Sam, for that, why don't you go ahead and make a plan on where we're going to meet. Someplace central in Albuquerque would be great. On the number two point that you had, yes, definitely going to do the 11:30 to 12:30 lunchtime thing. So look forward to the geek brown bag that we're going to have, and we'll talk about the other stuff as well. Okay, so Sam, you got the lead on that, my friend. Definitely tell me what you think's a good idea, and we'll go with it for those that are out in the Albuquerque area. Got an email from Guy. He says, "I've listened to you for years. Too bad you can't get your act together on your podcast feed." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And I replied to him, and so I want to just make sure everyone's straight. If you want to get the podcast feed, geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. I think Guy, we figured out what was going on with him, but just so there's no confusion, the primary podcast feed is geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. Got an email from Kevin. He says, "Hey, I was listening to the show on the 8th. He says, "And you mentioned how you wanted to switch from the iPhone. Do you like Linux? If so, why haven't you looked at the OpenMoco project with the Neo 1973, similar to the iPhone and practically completely open source? OpenMoco is the OS project name, and the Neo 1973 is produced by a third party, but the CAD files for the phone design are available, as are the specs. I'm saving the few hundred dollars so I can get it. It's cheaper and more functional than the iPhone or nearly any other competitor. Anyways, it worked yet again, and I have to go. Peace." From Kevin. So we'll check that out over at openmoco.com. I got an email from Susabel. "Silent Women, I didn't know there were any on your show." And what this was a response to was she had said, "Hey, Todd, I'm not in D.C. I live in St. Louis. I always have. Are you confusing me with Bree? I think she lives in the D.C. area." I said, "Yeah, I'm an idiot. Bree smacked me up this morning as well." So she replied back, and she says, "Not an idiot, just a busy guy, and I think Bree and I must be your only female listeners, so it's easy to get us confused." Susan Bell, according to the survey, and according to what who's out there, it's supposed to be like 13% that are listeners that are of this show that are ladies. So I've had some emails in the past from other ladies that listen to the show. So, Susabel, maybe your action can get them to do a little action and call the show. We'd love to hear from the lady listeners of the show. And definitely call into the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Let Susabel and Bree, Susabel in St. Louis and Bree in D.C., know that they are not the only ladies that that listen to the show. I got an email from... I guess it's PJAM. He doesn't actually put his name on here. He says, "Databases work great." And this is in response to my telephone discussion I had with Just having straight dialed telephone numbers. It says databases work great with numbers. It has improved over the years, but it's still slower to search for text, alphanumeric characters, and don't even get started about audio and video. But that's not the only problem besides different languages. If you get rid of 123456789 as a telephone number and go to a system where you type in or tell your phone to call Todd Cochran, just do a Google search on Google. There are 300,000 entries. Some are you, some are others, and so on. Yeah, some people might have a lot less results, but if you use the name Todd Cochran, for example, who would you actually call? There might be thousands and thousands with a similar name, and even as good as Google is, it still isn't exact science where you search. So if I want to call you, but it takes 30 minutes to find out who you really are, it's not worth it. Connecting the 123456789 to Todd Cochran and not somebody else is what RDBMS is great at, but then again, it goes back to that number. So even if you dump the phone numbers, you still need some way to connect people to a specific number, alphanumeric code or whatever. Otherwise, telling your phone to call Todd Cochran would result in thousands of results or incorrect connections, which would suddenly make the phone useless. If I know your phone number, dial it. I should either get a hold of you or your voicemail. If I know your name, it really doesn't mean I'll get a hold of you on a phone. And what happens when a person has three or four or more phones, like I do, home phone, cell phone, fax, office, extra cell phone that your kid has, but seeing your name and so on, what number would I call if I just say Todd Cochran? Yeah, you can work around this and add other identities like Todd Cochran cell, Todd Cochran office, but suddenly you start to get into more complicated storage issues, more complicated logarithms. In the end, you have to remember Todd plus Cochran plus cell plus your alphanumeric special code for the phone plus something else. How does that suddenly make it easier than 123456789? He says, I think it's a great idea in theory, but in reality, it would just make things more complicated than they already are. Too many people have multiple phones. Too many people have similar names, and look at half the help desk systems now. You speak into the phone, and half the time it sends you to the wrong person anyway. It couldn't comprehend what you dialed or said. I'd rather know your number, call you, than hope my phone actually calls one of your numbers. That's probably very, very true. Okay, let's see here. Got an email from Bo in Stockholm, Sweden. He said, I like your podcast. It's great. I've been listening to them since December when I got my Nokia E90 phone, but I have to inform you that your MP4 videos does not work very well on my Nokia E90. The sound is not at all in sync with the video, and I'm using the Nokia podcast program, the Nokia-supplied programs for audio and video. The later one is a Real Player version. Now, I think what's happening there is that Nokia is actually re-encoding the stuff to make it better on a mobile device. So I'm going to reach out. I've got some friends at Nokia that are in that department. I'll reach out to them and see if they can give me some suggestions. We can track down what's going on with that. He said, I downloaded your show, True Wi-Fi Turbo 3G. Turbo 3G normally has a 1 megabit downstream in Stockholm, and my operator 300 byte kit upstream, no edge. Even if one of the operators have it in Sweden, I pay $31 a month for unlimited Turbo 3G data on my phone. I do have a Nokia N800 as well, but I don't have any podcast software on it, so I use my phone for that. I'm normally a Sun Solaris user. I heard you talk about the Nokia N82, and if you get one, you may notice that your MP4 format does not work on the Nokia N60 phones. Most other MP4s works, but sometimes not. Notice that some folks from Sweden wrote to you about the internet connections in Sweden. It's true that most people only have ADSL available over a phone line, but in the big cities, we have a lot of internet, true cable, TV networks, and fiber connected to buildings. One case of fiber, the connection to the flat is a normal Ethernet, terminal plug. I have a TP plug in my apartment, and it's a 100 megabit network. Even if I don't get that in real speed, I don't pay for it because the fee is included in my fee for my flat, and the fee was not priced when I got it. Before it was included in my fee for the flat, I paid about $44 a month. I can have an IP phone that is included in the fee as well, but when I have to pay for the call, I only have a mobile phone because no use for a normal phone line at home. I use my mobile or cellular, as you say in the U.S. all internet service in Sweden is unlimited. Thanks for that great info. Good email. Appreciate it. Got an email from Simon. He's in Worcester in UK. He says, "Hey, Todd, hope you're well. Just thought you may find this interesting. I know from listening to you that you want more upload speed, not download. Here's the link anyway in case you can do something similar over there. Love the show, and I'll put this link up what he's provided to me in the show notes." Thanks, Simon, for sending the email. I'm going to email a feedback from Shane on his book reading. He said, "I only read a couple books a year, but my wife reads maybe 40, and may I suggest two for you? And one is The Fountainhead, and the second is Atlas Shrugged. Great for business owners. Thanks, Shane in Georgia." Definitely will check those out. I got it marked here to check those out on Amazon. "Hey, Todd, very tempted to buy this and try it with a Geek News Central podcast. And all I'm going to say is I think you'll all get a kick out of this. This comes from Catch of the Day. Definitely check a link to it." Got an email from Christian. I know that you think my attitude towards pirating is odd. Well, no. I don't think it's odd at all. Christian, don't get me wrong there. But look here, 1.6 million of Sweden's 9 million population or less regularly use file sharing service to pirate music, video, or software. That amounts to more than 20% of the active population if you remove seniors and children. So the attitude here is very different from the attitude I hear from you and other U.S. citizens. File sharing can be discussed relatively freely and isn't regarded as something odd or morally horrible. Christian, you want to hear hear what I really think? I think that a lot of people are file sharing in the United States, but are afraid to say they are based upon the stigmatism that goes along with it right now. I just about bet a lot of, I think we probably have higher numbers of people that are actively using the internet in the United States using peer-to-peer and file sharing than what people will admit. A lot of people will say, "Oh no! I'm a purist. I only pay for software. I only pay for movies. I only pay for music." But yet, I bet you'll find that many of them share music, share movies, and download programs off the internet. So, don't get me wrong there. I know it happens a lot. And personally, I'll be honest with you. Here's the reason why I support buying software and music and audio. I really want to make sure that what money the artists do make, they get paid for. I wanted to continue to support an industry that I like. I like watching movies. And also, I want to make sure that the software that I use, that I love and I use as part of my daily usage, is supported so that they build better software and have more features. People have to eat. I use a software. It's a value to me. It makes money for my company. So if something's making money for you and, you're so narrow focused that you think you shouldn't have to pay for it, that there's something just not, I don't think is right there. So that's, that's my thought process on why I am very proactive in making sure that everything that I have is paid for and that I have a license for. It's important to me to support, people out there that are doing this great creative work. And it also gives me a direct line to their support systems. If there's something wrong with a program, I can go in and say, "Hey, I'm a registered user. I don't like this, or this needs to be changed, or please fix this." And my value, because they can look me up in the database to see if I'm actually an owner of the product, my requests have more value to them than the person that may be making suggestions that they have no accountability on, whether or not they're actually, are a paid subscriber of the software. So, that's where I'm coming from. So anyway, enough on that. Thanks, everyone. And much, much warmer here in the D.C. area. We'll see how long it lasts. Definitely don't like the cold weather, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting back to Hawaii. My Valentine's gift, according to the UPS tracker, is going to be delivered on Valentine's Day. So good timing. And without giving it away completely, it should be something very comfortable for my wife and functional, comfortable and functional. So that will give you a little bit of a hint. And hopefully she doesn't listen to the show between now and Valentine's Day. And of course, there are the, the obligatory sweets that are sent along as well. So fellas, don't forget, You've got just a couple days now before Valentine's Day to take care of that special one. And don't forget your mom's as well. And, you know, for Valentine's Day, because, you know, she should be your Valentine as well. And ladies, the same thing. So anyway, let me get off in here. And everyone have a great week. We'll see you on Friday. And looking forward to meeting up with all the Virginia, District of Columbia, Maryland people that are listening to the show. Come on out to Old Town. Let's have a nice dinner together and do a little chatting back and forth. And again, make sure that you let me know, RSVP via email or call me, 808-741-4923. If I don't answer, please leave a voicemail and a good telephone number to reach you at. And I'll be reaching out to everyone. So everyone take care. We'll see you on Wednesday for the dinner. And we'll see everyone for the show on Friday. Until next time, aloha.